The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Naja Gleago. In the headlines, government says introduction of GMOs remain alternative to food sufficiency. Center for Economic Transformation blames mismanagement of heritage and stabilization funds on lack of arithmetic diligence. Number of Easter Monday revelers washed ashore rises to 8 in 2 beaches. Head of South Sudan's Army SAC. And U.S. troops arrive in Poland for military exercise amid tension with Russia over Ukraine. But first, the summary with Jonathan Thompson.
The Ministry of Food and Agriculture says the introduction of genetically modified foods could lead to total food sufficiency. Explaining the ministry's stance on GMOs at the Meet the Press series in Accra, Deputy Sector Minister Dr. Yakubu Alhassan said the issue of losing natural seeds and loss of livelihoods by farmers should not be the reason to lag behind in modern ways of agriculture. The Africa Center for Economic Transformation has blamed the mismanagement of the Heritage and Stabilization Fund on lack of arithmetic diligence. A senior policy advisor at the center, Professor Joam Wakuntufo, made the remark while contributing to a report on Ghana's oil revenue in Accra. 8 bodies of some Easter revelers have been washed ashore. 5 of the bodies were found at the Botiano Beach, while the other 3 were found at the Sakumono Beach in Accra. The Wager District Police Commander, Superintendent Shaibu Osei, told Radio Ghana that 3 of the 5 bodies have been identified and deposited at the Kolebu Hospital morgue, whilst 1 of the 3 at Sakumono had been identified and sent to the mortuary. The head of South Sudan Army has been sacked by President Salva Kiir. No reason has so far been given for the dismissal. South Sudan has been in turmoil since December last year, and the first contingent of 150 U.S. troops has arrived in Poland for military exercises as tensions between U.S. and Russia over Ukraine deepen. Additional 450 troops are expected to join in the coming days. Meanwhile, the U.K., Netherlands and Denmark have scrambled fighter jets after 2 Russian military aircraft were spotted approaching their airspace.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news in detail. The Deputy Food and Agriculture Minister, Dr. Yakubu Alhassan, says the introduction of genetically modified foods still remains the alternative to attaining total food sufficiency. Explaining the ministry's stance on GMOs at the Meet the Press series in Accra, Dr. Yakubu said the issue of losing natural seeds and loss of livelihoods by farmers should not be the reason to lag behind modern ways of agriculture. He said apart from farmers achieving all-year-round yields, there will also be increase in production. A report by Irab Napaha.
The crop subsector continues to dominate subsectorial contributions and remains the single largest economic activity, accounting for 15.6% of GDP last year. Food and Agriculture Minister Clement Kofi Umado mentioned food staples secured in production as at the end of 2013.
For the subsectors, it is the crop subsector that experienced the largest growth rate of 5.9%, livestock 5.3%, and forestry and logging did not show any increase. And then also fishing went up 5.8%. Then we also had excellent production in maize to the extent that stocks of maize are locked up in the rural areas. And we have had to find how to evacuate this maize and to prevent farmers from losses.
Mr. Umado identified some food items in which Ghana is not self-sufficient, though she has comparative advantage.
We need to produce more for exports. The challenges there are agricultural lands for key crops like oil palm is decreasing. We cannot easily get contiguous lands like 10,000 hectares. We have 1,000 here, 2,000 there, 3,000 there. That is the major challenge to expanding oil palm production. And we also need to develop access roads, extend electricity to these areas.
As echoed in the State of the Nation address delivered by President Mahama on the production of rice, the minister outlined the ministry's mission of achieving a rice production growth of 20% per annum to attain self-sufficiency by 2018 and to reach a surplus of 13%.
The ministry had done an analysis and started working out a program of how to turn the situation around. The import of rice has been increasing since 2009, and the figure for 2013 is 644,000 metric tons. And in terms of value, the dollar value has also been increasing up to almost $400 million.
He stated that crops such as yam, rubber, cashew and tomatoes are top export priorities. Poultry and livestock over the last 5 years have cost the country an average of $200 million annually in terms of importation. But in order to curb the importation of unwholesome poultry and other meat products, the ministry announced the strict enforcement of the Import Regulation Act.
Arab Napaha reporting. In a sharp rebuttal, the Economic Justice Network says Ghana has what it takes to produce if farmers are well resourced and provided with markets for their produce. The network says Ghanaian farmers have constantly complained of access roads to bring home what they have produced and urge government to focus on addressing the complaints and not hide behind GMOs. Speaking to Radio Ghana, a member of the Economic Justice Network, Charles Inyaba, wondered why the government is bent on introducing GMOs.
I don't know what the Minister of Food and Agriculture is talking about. Look, Ghana, we don't have problem with product. If you remember, and now even if you go through the out of the country, we have a lot of food stalls by farmers that they are not getting market for those food stalls. I remember in 2008, tomato farmers, internal irrigation and via and other areas have to commit suicide because they produce tomatoes and they couldn't get market for their product. Even today, when you go to Pichima, you go to Tumu and other areas, farmers have a lot of maize that they store. They're looking for good market. The problem is not about production. The farmers have capacity. The problem has to do with market as a good network to farm gates and other. So what are they talking about food sufficiency? We should address those challenges rather than talking about introduction of GMOs. GMOs cannot be solution to food sufficiency in this country because we don't have problem with production. We disagree with that assessment that said.
Charles Inyaba is a member of Economic Justice Network. And still on agriculture, the food. The Agriculture Minister Clement Kofi Humado has denied reports that government intends to either privatize or sell the National Food and Buffer Stock Company, NAFCO. The minister came under heavy criticism from civil society and pressure groups, as well as political parties, when reports emerged that he stated somewhere that government was looking for a strategic investor to manage the company. But in a sharp rebuttal at the Mr. Press series, Mr. Humado said NAFCO is rather a vital company playing important social and commercial roles. To this end, he said, NAFCO will remain a wholly owned government company and funds will be made available to enhance its operations.
NAFCO has been very topical of late. I was accused that I said I was going to sell that. That is not true. I was just stating to a reporter that the operations of NAFCO have both some commercial aspects and then social aspects. Stocking of emergency food for disaster, for flooding, is a social activity of NAFCO. But while we have stocks, we have mopped up from the rural areas, and we need to dispose of these stocks in the market. That is some commercial activity. So I was saying that for the commercial activity, we can involve private sector participation. So by that, it was misinterpreted that I said I was privatizing NAFCO, and then another people said I was even selling it. NAFCO has been doing a good job despite the limited capitalization, and I believe that they still have a role to play in the fortunes of this country.
You heard Food and Agriculture Minister Clement Kofi Humado. A senior policy advisor of the Africa Center for Economic Transformation, Professor Joe Amwakutufo, has attributed mismanagement of the Heritage and Stabilization Fund under the petroleum holdings to the lack of diligence in fund calculations. Professor Amwakutufo was contributing to a report on Ghana's oil revenue in Accra yesterday. Joyce Jetchi reports.
The country's oil revenue report was compiled by an international NGO, Revenue Watch. The report commends Ghana for having a strong petroleum revenue management law, which takes into account the establishment of fiscal and investment rules and savings for future generations. The Ghana Heritage Fund is where the saving of future generations is deposited. An amount of oil revenue goes to a fund which is withdrawn to support the budget, known as Stabilization Fund. These two funds are where Professor Mwakutupo has reservations.
If we take the Heritage Fund, the Stabilization Fund, and we sum them up, and we take the total revenue, can we be convinced that at least approximate percentages of those revenues have been saved. And I doubt that would be the case. And there will be no excuse for not getting the arithmetic right.
The report stated the absence of an independent auditor and the lack of a long-term development plan as a nation. These were confirmed by a representative of the Ministry of Finance, Dr. Joseph Asensu, who stated that the Auditor General hasn't been able to finalize the report on petroleum fund since 2011. On long-term development plan, Dr. Asensu has this explanation.
We may not have a long-term plan, but we have medium-term plans. And long-term plans are given expression by medium-term plans. A set of aggregation of medium-term plans will give you the long-term plan. So we are currently going to prepare a long-term plan.
His explanation was countered by other panelists that a number of short-term development plans do not make up for a long-term plan. The need for a long-term national development plan was advocated against the background of investing in infrastructure as against investing offshore with minimal interest.
Joyce Jetty reporting. Ghana's energy generation will receive a further boost with the construction of a 340-megawatt thermal plant at Kung in the Greater Accra region. The $400 million plant will begin in May or June this year. This came to light when some senior executives of the consortium for the thermal plant conferred with the Vice President Kwesi Mesa-Afa at a Flagstaff House in Accra. He said governments will continue to encourage investors, especially in the energy sector. Seth Aya reports.
A member of the consortium and board chairman of Sen Power Generation Company Limited, Sandru Butler, said the $400 million for the construction of the thermal plant has been secured. He said the plant, after some years in operation, will be handed over to the government.
The construction of the plant is around over some $400 million. We are going to have a storage facility to store fuel in tanks for about 3 months. Then there will be the collector substation, which will be built in for Ritco, and then hand it over later on. We've secured all the money. This is the largest African private sector driven developed power plant so far. Then the technical partner will be Sumitomo. And after the first period of the PPA, we hand over the plant entirely to government.
The first time consists of how many years?
It's 20 years.
Vice President Mesa-Afa once again stated that the measures announced by the Bank of Ghana to address the depreciation of the cedi is to prevent the economy from being dollarized.
I know that in the last couple of weeks you've had some concerns about the new rules on foreign exchange and so on, and I'm told that the central bank has given you assurances, and I'd like to also confirm the assurances that you've been giving that the rules are not meant to frustrate investments such as yours. The rules are meant to reduce the extent to which our economy was being dollarized. The aspects of the new rules may impact on you, and whenever they found that, they found a way to insulate you from the operation of the rules. So I hope that you are sufficiently assured to get financial closure on this project so that we can see that 340 megawatts are added to the national grid.
Deputy Minister of Energy and Petroleum, John Jinapo, said the ministry is on course to increase the country's energy generation to 5,000 megawatts by 2016.
Indeed, our energy demand was growing at 10% per annum. Last year, it grew by 12%. This year, we anticipate that it will grow by 15%. And that's why we are fully committed to this project and would work with the team to ensure that whatever issues and bottlenecks that we face, we are able to overcome that. We are fully committed to ensuring that we see to the implementation of this project.
Sumitomo of Japan, another member of the consortium, will manage and operate the thermal plant when it is completed. Seth Iya, reporting for Radio Ghana.
The Media Foundation for West Africa will from next month start monitoring 40 media organizations on a day-to-day basis to establish the extent to which those media houses observe or violate the GJA Code of Ethics. The monitoring will take into consideration 15 ethical principles in journalism. These include accuracy, balance, headlines, and fairness. It comes at a time when the Ghanaian media landscape is dominated by inaccuracies, sensational headlines, and lack of respect for people's privacy. The foundation's executive director, Suleiman Brahima, made this known in Accra during a meeting to seek inputs from relevant stakeholders. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Government says introduction of GMOs remain alternative to food sufficiency. Center for Economic Transformation blames mismanagement of heritage and stabilization funds on lack of arithmetic diligence. Number of Easter Monday revelers washed ashore rises to 8 in 2 beaches. Head of South Sudan's army sacked. And U.S. troops arrive in Poland for military exercise amid tension with Russia over Ukraine. We'll be back shortly.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
Welcome back. 3 bodies have been washed ashore at the Sakumono Beach just after the Easter festivities. The dead, 2 males and 1 female, are believed to be among the hundreds of revelers who thronged the beach during the Easter holidays. One of the bodies, which was identified by family members, has been picked up by the Tama Community 2 police for deposits at the mortuary. The other 2 were yet to be picked up as at 3 o'clock yesterday. The other 2 victims appear to be in their mid-30s. Here is an eyewitness Emmanuel Abaka's account.
I'm reporting from the Sakumono Beach Road, where this afternoon we have 3 dead bodies washed down from the sea. 1 lady and 2 gentlemen. Asking the people around, I think somewhere 10 to 11 a.m. was the time the bodies were brought to shore. We have so many people around observing the scene. It is just a free beach where anybody can go. You know, when you are coming from Nungwa Barrier, we have 3 entertainment centers along the beach. But just after the 3 entertainment centers, there is an open space where people go there to swim. And this is exactly the area that this incident happened.
Now, the dead bodies that were found, could you tell the age range of those dead?
Looking at the composite of the body, I can only identify them by their age. The middle age. The lady should be somewhere, I think, 20 to 25. And then the other male bodies should be from 22 to at least 30.
That was an eyewitness at a Sakumono Beach where 3 dead bodies were washed ashore yesterday. And still on the holiday disaster, 5 other bodies have been identified ashore at the Botiano Beach. 3 were washed up on Tuesday and 2 yesterday. Wager District Police Commander Superintendent Chaibwose said all the 3 bodies which washed ashore yesterday were identified and later sent to the Kolibu Hospital morgue. The 2 other bodies that were found are yet to be identified. The bodies are said to be in a state of decomposition. And on the foreign front, South Sudan's President Salva Kiir sacked the head of the army. No reason was given for the dismissal. The country has been in turmoil since December. Last week, rebels seized the oil hub of Bentiu. Meanwhile, the UN has accused the government of providing wrong information regarding a massacre of hundreds of civilians in the town. And the first contingent of U.S. troops has landed in Poland for military exercises amid tension with Russia over Ukraine. The troops, numbering about 150, landed in northwest Poland and are due to be followed in coming days by a further 450 troops. Separately, the UK, Netherlands and Denmark scrambled fighter jets after 2 Russian military aircrafts were spotted approaching their airspace. And on to end the news, the main points again. Government says introduction of GMOs remain alternative to food sufficiency. Center for Economic Transformation blames mismanagement of heritage and stabilization funds on lack of arithmetic diligence. Number of Easter Monday revelers washed ashore rises to 8 in 2 beaches. Head of South Sudan's army sacked. And U.S. troops arrive in Poland for military exercise amid tension with Russia over Ukraine. The news was presented by Naja Gleago in Accra.